Douglas, Dan Douglas is with us this morning. I'm going to ask you to come without preparation to read the portion of God's Word for us, please. It's John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And I just saw Mrs. Witten come in, and it would be nice for you to repeat what you did last night. To verse 20, if you would be so kind. So, let's stand as our brother reads for us John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, and then our sister will come and recite Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Okay.
John 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. For was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Remain standing for prayer. For our sister to come and recite.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the shepherds were gone away from them into heaven, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the things which they were told concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated, please, Brother. Pastor Matt Postum, would you come and lead us in prayer? Thank you. Let us all pray with our brother.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for allowing us the privilege to join together. We pray, Lord, for those who are not able to be here this morning due to some ailment in their body. We ask, Lord, that your peace and grace and comfort will be their portion this morning, as they would certainly desire to be here with God's people. We just want to remember them briefly before thee today. Lord, there is a man also we heard about this morning who, though not associated with our assembly, was from another one nearby. He was very ill last night, and we pray for this man. We don't know his name, but we ask you to touch his body. Oh, Lord, help him and his family. And Lord, thinking of that, we do pray for the assemblies of God's people round about in this area who hold forth a testimony of the Word of God and truth. And I just want to think of two of them specifically this morning. Lord, I pray for Pastor Hirth and the church there on Wagner Road. I pray for Pastor Phillips and his family and the church there on Packard. We ask, Lord, that you will bless these two assemblies and their meetings this morning as they seek to glorify thee by their songs and prayers and preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I ask for our assembly this morning the same. And if there is any in any of these places that preach the Word of God, the gospel, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have personal assurance that their home is in heaven and that they know thee, the only true God, and thy Son whom thou hast sent, that they would turn to thee this morning and commit their lives to you through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may they remember this day, December 25th, 2005, as not only the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also of their second birth, their rebirth, their being born from above. And Lord, we thank you also for the passage that our brother read this morning that teaches us about the full deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And, O God, wonder of wonders, that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But, Lord, now we thank you that you have exalted him, and you have given him the name which is above every name, that at his name every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should and must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. O our God, we thank you for this. We thank you for the remembrance of this event, this miracle that occurred so many years ago, so that God could take upon himself flesh and become the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. O God, we thank you for this. Lord, I do thank you for those who are with us today. Thank you especially for Dan and Elizabeth who are here, who have come from such a distance. We are rejoicing to be able to see them once again and shake their hands and give them a hug and express our love to them over so many months that they have been away. And we thank you. We pray for them, Lord, as they continue on in their journey of life together, married. We thank you for this. We also pray for Jeff and Sin May in the same way. And Lord, thank you for just 2 months ago now, they having been united in marriage and now desiring to serve thee together, we pray that you'll open the doors for that and give them great desires and interests in this direction. Lord, we want to think this morning also of those our fellow citizens who are far away from us in foreign lands, protecting our freedoms, allowing us to have this meeting this morning, really. And Lord, we pray for those, our troops, men and women in Iraq and Afghanistan and stationed throughout the globe. We thank you, Lord, that they have been used by thy sovereign hand as thy servants to open the door of the gospel to many places and to allow us the freedom to worship for these many years. We ask, Lord, that you and your good providence will allow us this privilege in years and years to come, should you tarry, and that we would be able to, by exercise, make use of it so that it would not grow atrophied in this, our land. We pray, Lord, for those also who have never seen life, who have been snuffed out before they could see the light of day. Lord, for the people that are involved in that sort of thing, we pray for their souls, O God, that you will take them and turn their eyes to thee and away from the wickedness that they are doing. And for the parents of these children who have allowed this great thing to, this terrible thing to happen to them, oh God, we pray for them as well, that they will realize before it's too late that they need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those that are on the other end of life, we pray for them this morning as well, that you would protect them from the vulgarities of society that would set them aside and put them away for good, having valued their life of no value. But we thank you, Lord, that you have taught us that life does have value. You've even taken upon yourself the human life to show us. And so we thank you, Lord, for this. Now we pray that as the ongoing of this service unfolds, that you'll help us to glorify your name. We thank you in his name and with just joy and delight that we can be here and worship you this morning. Amen.
Please come in, friends. Thank you. Very warm welcome to all of you this morning in the precious name of the Lord. And here we have all the freedom we desire to say a blessed Christmas in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're delighted to have you. Thank you very much. Come on in, Jim. There's a place for you. Thank you. All right. I don't hesitate to say who's here for the first time and who's visiting with us, but you just look around and see some faces that you don't recognize, but they're all here and you are here, and we rejoice in the Lord's goodness. It was a joy to have our sister Vicki give us the reading from Luke's Gospel chapter 2. She did that last night, and I can only say to you, dear friends who were unable to be with us, that we had a most wonderful service last night, and the singing from the Cole family will long be remembered. Yeah. And we had the joy to have them at our home last night after the service, which we've been doing for a number of years. And it was just a great joy and blessing. And they're saying, in the will of the Lord, they will be back here next year. So you just remember that and plan to be here if the Lord tarries, if he does not come back to take us home. Thank you. Now, for those of you who have time or want to use your time in a profitable way, next Lord's Day, Saturday night, we'll have a watch night service We'll start at 8:30 and go till midnight. We have the table of the Lord just around midnight. You'd be most welcome to be here. We have a nice program. The time goes very quickly, and especially there's one area that everybody likes when we have some finger food that you will bring with you so that we can enjoy some goodies along the way. And you can make some more pumpkin squares if you want. Yeah. And you can make some more cookies. Yeah. All right. God bless you. We'd love to have you be there. And then there will be no Sunday school next Lord's Day like we had today. No Sunday school. But there will be a service. We'll preach on 10:45 next Lord's Day, just like always. And at night we'll have another meeting. So please make that as a note and realize that we're going to be there. I don't know whether we should have omitted Sunday school this morning or not, but we had a hard time getting people together just this morning to pray. I guess we all thought it was just time to just relax, but it's a time to worship the Lord Jesus Christ on this His wonderful day on which He was born. Yeah, praise the Lord. Other notices are in the bulletin for you to attend to. Some of you may have heard this. David Brickner of Jews for Jesus brought this to our attention, that any gift given from the time of the Katrina catastrophe to the end of this year, you can claim 100% to give to the Lord if you so desire. That's a 50% addition that the government has allowed us to do. If you have some of the Lord's money that you want to give to this church or to a mission or a missionary's activities, please let us know. And if you want to postdate your check, that's okay with us, just so it's in by next Lord's Day. We'll see to it it's credited to your account. The government will be asking you in April, what did you do with your money? And if you have some of the Lord's money that you want to be sure is in the hands of God's people, this is your opportunity. Thank you so much. Now we're going to receive an offering now. If you have some of God's money that you want to give to the Lord's work here, this is your opportunity. We had a lovely gift from a lady who used to attend here. And I just want to remind you, it's the sacrificial giving of God's people. This lady sent $20. I know her situation and have known her for many, many years. And I know it's a real sacrifice. To the best of my ability, I see to it, along with the brethren, that the money that is received is used in a proper way and is used for God's glory. We do not try to pad our pockets, but to use it for God's glory. And may the Lord bless you as you give to Him this morning. We'll ask the men to come, please. Thank you. Thank you. Jeff Dowell, will you lead us in our prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this day to celebrate your birth. And we thank you for the funds that you provided to us, Lord, that you meet all of our needs. And thank you now that we've come here to bring this to you and trust it to be used for your kingdom here on this earth. We pray for wisdom among the leaders of this church to use these funds wisely.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Anna Widgeon, I understand you're going to be singing for this this morning. All right. Please come. Thank you. This is our American Indian lady. She did a great job last night, and it's nice to have you again. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
sing one more hymn before we have the ministry of the Word of God. Brother David Yanga, will you come and sing? Help us to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. I learned on the internet, I think it was either for Falwell or from the people down in Florida, that this song was proposed in a school and it was refused. And they had some strange silent night with a zero, but not holy night. And the lawyers of Falwell's group or the other one went to bat and forced the school district to reinstate the singing of Silent Night, Holy Night. I want to tell you, my friend, we need to pray so earnestly. So much is being taken away from us. Amen. We had a long time discussion around our table last night of what's happening in Israel. What's going to happen to the Shiites in Iran when they join forces with the Shiites in Iraq? And the borders will be broken down. And the president of Iran has said, we want to wipe out Israel. That's just one side. But in our own country, Christian things are being put aside. And so it's now Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. It's politically unsound to do what we do in our church. But we just thank the Lord that we still have it here. And may God be pleased. So, men, if you have the time and are willing to get out of your bed next Saturday at 7:30, we'll be praying again about these issues as men. And if you can come, please come. And if you can't come at morning, come at night and join with us. The privileges are here. When will they be taken away? We don't know, but we do thank the Lord that we, as long as we have the opportunity, we want to utilize them for His glory and praise. Okay, my brother David, Silent Night, Holy Night, hymn number 111, please. 111.
Oh,
Are we having a children's meeting today? You are. Who said yes? Okay. The children are excused to go with Brother Dwayne Reed to teach the Word of God. Oh, your wife is up there. All right. Please go. Thank you. That's lovely. Half your congregation is going, John. I just thought I would pause a minute to say thank you for Brother David Yankin coming to lead the singing. We call people by the first names, some of us because we're older than they are, but I don't want to demean their position. He's a medical doctor, and so some people say, you know, these fundamental Bible-believing people, they're crazy, because they... if they knew better, they wouldn't believe that stuff. Well, there's a brother who does believe it. And our assistant pastor has a PhD in computer engineering, so he's no dummy either. The man who's going to preach for us this morning is a medical doctor. He's our own son. We are very proud of him, and we're just grateful because he comes here to preach for us from time to time. He's, I don't want to parade his qualifications, but I just thank the Lord for him. And Mrs. Ewan is over here. Her husband went to be with the Lord a few weeks ago, and he was a very fine, outstanding brother in the Lord. And so when you people, some people come around and say, oh, you're a bunch of nuts. No, we aren't. Very professional people who love the Lord and stand for the Lord. There's some teachers over on this side, some nurses who are amongst us. We rejoice in the Lord's goodness and grace. And many of you are computer wise, and we're so dummy about some of that stuff. But we just rejoice in the Lord and thank God for faithful people who love the Lord and are not just deranged people. And our son is going to preach the gospel and preach the word. There may be somebody here, John, who don't know the Lord. And we just are so grateful for you to be here. By the way, I was telling one more thing before you stand up here. Your daughter, she came with us this morning. She's a sweet little gal. And she's very loving. And whenever we taken her over here, we said, you know, Oma and Opa were brought out. No smoking, no drinking, no dancing, no going to movies. We were brought up that way. And I said, we brought up your father and your uncles that same way. And I said, they used to take me back into the back bedroom and say to me, now you prove to me that you can't go to the movie. Show me the verse. And I used to say to them, well, listen, if you understood the value system of the Word of God for a believer, and then I said, here's a good verse for you, Ephesians 5:18, proving what is acceptable in his sight. And then my wife popped up from the back seat. See, she was displaced by our granddaughter. And she said, yes, give her the verse your mother gave you, Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. And those are things that stuck with us over the years. And then when I got here early and was able to shovel the snow, then Brother David came and says, you want to change? You hold my Bible and I'll take the shovel. And I changed it. And then we talked about some of those things together too. Brother and sister, this is his day, the Lord's day. And we want to praise him and thank him that we're not crazy idiots, but people who have found a wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus. Thank you, John.
Now that he's preached his sermon, I guess I could sit down. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here this morning, the privilege of being able to open your word. And I pray that as we just look at the word of God, that we will come to a greater understanding of who you are, what you really did for us, and are doing for us, and that will affect our lives in a really tremendous way, so that we are changed, both as part of salvation, but also in becoming sanctified, set apart to be of service to you. We thank you for that great privilege and pray that it will be on our hearts this morning as we remember the birth of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, my dad, in his usual fashion, said, "Well, you're here on Sunday, so why don't you preach?" I figured he's just trying to get out of the job. No, it's a great privilege and honor, because then it forces me to go and do something and try to think of something that's important. And while I was sitting in my office the other day, I had a conversation. You never know who you're talking to and what their circumstances really are. So the young woman who helps me to put patients into the room just sort of opened up and started to talk to me. And it turned out that about a year ago, she found where her son was. He'd left home. She had no idea where he was, and somehow found out that he was in prison. And, of course, this greatly affected her. And then over the year, things had happened, and now he's about to be released from prison. And so she was opening and telling me about this. And while I was listening to her tell me her personal story, it struck me the little that we understand what Christ did that we remember today. Here's a situation of a young woman whose son went away. She didn't know where he was, didn't know what he was doing, finds out that he's in trouble, incarcerated in a prison, and yet her heart goes out for that boy. She cares about that boy. She prays for that boy. And how puny we are compared to a God who created us, made us. We stuck our fist in his face, and yet he turned around and gave himself. And so this morning, I wanted to set the scene for you from that and read a little bit of discussion, the story of the promise of the Messiah. Starts in the book of Isaiah. I just want to read you first a passage. I'm going to be flipping through your Bible in the Old Testament so that you'll see this. And I want to paint the picture to you of where the promise of the Messiah came. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 3, actually verse number 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, and my people do not consider." Turn over in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles. Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. This is the scene. This is the era, the time when Isaiah would speak to Ahaz. And I want you to get an idea of the character of Ahaz from chapter 28. Chapter 28 is the chronicle of his reign, what he did, what happened during that time. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became the king. And he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem, which means he was 36 when he died. Not a very auspicious or lengthy reign for a man of that age. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and he made molded images for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He burned his children in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Therefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. They defeated him and carried away a great multitude of them as captives and brought them to Damascus. Then he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son. Azricam, the officer of the house, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive to their brethren 200,000 women, sons, daughters. They also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded. And he went out from before the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Look, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. And now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female slaves. But are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, return the captives whom you have taken captive from your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." And some of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshelemoth, Jehizkiah, the son of Shalom, Amasa, the son of Haldiah, stood up against those who came from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives here, for we already have offended the Lord. You intended to add to our sins and to our guilt, for our guilt is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the leaders and all the assembly. Then the men who were designated by name rose up and took the captives, and from the spoil they clothed all of them who were naked amongst them, dressed them, gave them sandals, gave them food and drink, anointed them, and let the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of palm trees. And then they returned to Samaria. At the same time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and attacked Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also invaded the cities of the lowland and of the south of Judah and had taken Beth Shemesh, Aiyan, Gidderoth, Succoth and its villages, Timnah with its villages, Gimzo and its villages, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. Also Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to him and distressed him and did not assist him. For Ahaz took part of the treasury of the house of the Lord for the house of the king and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him. Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, "Because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them, that they may help me." But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every single city in Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods, provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all of his ways, from first to last, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city in Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tomb of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah reigned in his place. Pretty grim picture. Thank you. A very grim picture. Not unlike today, if you think about it. See, we sat around the table last night and talked. And my brother, who's really tied into the Israel, and was telling of all the difficulties. And you think about it. Think about Israel today, not much different. They've got enemies within. They sit on borders. They have to draw a fence around so they keep from being blown up personally. And they're lobbing rockets over the fence. They now have a man in Iran who has vowed to wipe them from the face of the earth. Says the Holocaust never happened. It was a fake. It was an imagination of somebody just made up. Those stinking Jews. They sit in a place where there are maybe, 4 or 5 million Jews? And how many millions of Arabs sworn to destroy them? They are in no better state today than they were 50 years ago. And they stand on the brink of destruction. Where's God? They're not looking to God. They're looking to the kafir fighter, the Abrams tank, and whatever else they can do, much as Ahaz looked to Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria and tried to buy him off, and got what? Nothing. They never got on his knees, and they never asked God to help him. But turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. It'll blow your mind. Because this is the story of the promise of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 7. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, Pekah, the king of Remaliah, king of Israel, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told of the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of the people were moved as the trees of wood are moved the wind. Ahaz looks about him and he sees war. In Chronicles, we learn what happened to his people. 100,000 of them died in a single battle. 200,000 were taken away captive. The country stood, but the crisis was grave. We stand today in a war where 2,000 people were killed, not 100,000 people. We have no understanding of this type of distress. We saw two towers. I mean, I sat there and watched those two towers go down. I can remember the absolute horror in my mind. I can remember standing in the hospital, watching TV to TV, trying to take care of patients while this whole thing was going on. And look at our response. Judah had 100,000 people die in a single battle. It affected everybody in that country. There wasn't a single person who didn't know somebody who was taken captive or was killed or both. Kings lied against them. Nobody to their defense. The people stood there as trees in the wind. Not a pretty picture. And the Lord sent Isaiah. Go now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jazeb, your son. This is a cute thing. You have to get this. It's in my Bible in the little middle column. Hopefully it's in yours. The name Cher Jasek. Now, my kids have nice names. They're great names. They have meanings to them as well. And they have a name from the Old Testament and the New Testament, because that's what my parents did for us. And so I tried to carry on the tradition, and my wife was kind enough to go along with me. This boy's name means in Hebrew, a remnant shall return. And God told Isaiah to take his son for a specific reason because of his name. Can you imagine God told you what to name your kid? That's what he did to Isaiah. When Isaiah lived an interesting life, this isn't even the half of what he did. Within the book of Isaiah is to predict the major events that will happen in world history. The birth of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah, the millennial reign of Christ. Can you imagine giving those gifts? God also told him to run around the country for 3 years naked. How would you like that one? He was a personal billboard about what was going on. Just to show them publicly exactly where their minds were. Stripped and stupid. A public example so that people could see it in case they couldn't understand his words. And Isaiah has kids, and God tells Isaiah to name his children in such a way that they're a message to the people. For all his life, Cher Jasek would know that a remnant would return, because that was his name. At the end of the aqueduct at the upper pool at the highway of Fuller's Field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted. For these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin of Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in the wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken so that it will not be a people. 722 B.C., the Assyrians would descend upon Israel. The northern 10 tribes would go into captivity. And never, ever, ever again have those 10 tribes ever been a political unit. Not now, not at any time in history. The 12 tribes have, but not those 10. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria is Remaliah. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Look, don't worry about these two idiots. They're burnt-out firebrands. They're like the end things, you know, when you build a nice deal with charcoal and you have a nice fire, and then the end of the deal, it's working out. Don't even worry about them. It's not even a deal. In fact, in 65 years, the nation of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, will no longer exist. They're gone. Nothing left. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, ask a sign for yourself. Now, I want you to understand what's going on here. This is not a question. The grammatical form here in Hebrew is a command. I want you to ask for a sign. You must ask for a sign. Ahaz is commanded to ask. What's the character of Ahaz? Ahaz doesn't believe God. So as you read this, you find that his answer is disingenuous. It's disingenuous. What does he say? Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Ask anything you want. In fact, I command you to ask whatever you want. Go ahead, ask. Can you imagine what God is doing for a man who doesn't even believe in him? Think about it. We don't think of the prediction of the Messiah in these terms. We read the prediction, but we don't read the circumstances. The circumstances are a world put off by God. I don't want to hear it anymore. It doesn't help me anymore. I don't care about it. It is irrelevant. In fact, this morning, in churches of 35,000 people, the doors are what? Closed. Why? God isn't relevant anymore. My family is relevant. All other kinds of things are relevant. I have to have a nice time is relevant. But the Messiah, the God of creation, is irrelevant. That is when the prediction comes. In fact, God commands us to get on our knees and to ask for something. George Barna report came out. Three things are missing in church. You know what one of them is? Prayer. It's the least thing that pastors talk about in their own churches. Prayer. What's prayer? This. God commands us to get on our knees and talk to Him. He commands us to get on our knees and ask for things. He commanded a non-believing king of Israel to ask for anything he wanted. From the depths below to the heights above, whatever you want, ask for it. What does he say? But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Oh, nor will I test God. You see, it sounds like a real pious response, doesn't it? Oh, who am I? Come on, Isaiah, who am I? I can't test God. I'm just, a lowly king of Israel, Judah. I can't do this. You're asking me to test God? No, Isaiah didn't ask for it. God told him to do it. You see, we forget that today. We forget what God says to do. We forget that God has commandments for us. We forget that God has standards for us. We forget that God says, I'm going to be first. I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And Isaiah says, hear now, O King of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary God also? I mean, it's one thing to be a turkey to your own people, to lead them down the wrong road, to do all these stupid things that your people are just, they're standing there going, what in the world is this idiot going to do next? But do you have to weary God? I wonder sometimes. From me, I wonder a lot about me. Because, I go into situations, and especially at the hospital, things aren't perfect. Or some resident that I'm trying to teach does something that's just boneheaded. Sorry, David. It's not their fault. They don't have the experience. They don't have the knowledge. That's why they're there. So what do? I come charging in and I'm all angry and I do all of this stuff. And what are you doing to this patient? And is it enough that you weary, God too? You weary God? God says, ask. Ask. From the depths below to the heights above, ask. Get down on your knees to the Creator who put you in the position that you are and talk to Him. So you won't ask for a sign? I'll give you one. I'm going to give you one anyway. Oh, it won't be in your lifetime, Ahaz, nor in your sons. In fact, it would take another 700 years. But here's the promise. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name God with us. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. And the Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you in your days and your father's house days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. There it is. The most important scriptures in our Bible, right here, came under these circumstances. Behold, a virgin. Now, the word in Hebrew there, people will tell you, and it's true, is a young woman. Its only uses in the Bible are of women who were not married and had never been pregnant. Therefore, the translation is a virgin. I want to tell you something else, too. The Jews thought it was a virgin. They translated it a virgin in the Septuagint in Greek, the same time that Christ was born. So if a Jewish person tells you, but it says a young woman there, it doesn't say a virgin, you can say, well, why did your own ancestors translate it as a virgin into Greek? They knew what it meant. For behold, the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, something Ahaz had no clue about. Do we? When you sit and think today, when you sit and think about really what Christmas is all about, do we know to refuse the evil and choose the good? Do we know that? It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt, for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, and they will come. All of them will rest in the desolate valleys, in the clefts of the rock, on all the thorns and in all the pastures, a country which has been made desolate. In the same day the Lord will shave with a hired razor with those from beyond the river, the king of Assyria, the head and the hair and the legs, will also remove the beard, a sign of sorrow. It shall be in that day that a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep, and it shall be from the abundance of milk that they give that he will eat curds. For curds and honey everyone will eat who is left in the land, and it shall happen in that day that wherever there could be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver, it will be for briars and thorns. And any hill which could be dug with a hoe, you will not go there for fear of briar and thorns, but it will become a range for oxen and a place for sheep to roam. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's hand concerning Mahir Sha'al Hash-Baz. That's his second son. I think my kids are very thankful for their names now. God has some wild names he gives to people. My wife is always worried that if we named them something really weird, that they wouldn't do well because all the kids would make fun of them for having a weird name. I don't know. God used names here to say things about people. This means in Hebrew, actually, speed the spoil and hasten the booty. How much do you like that for your name? Speed the spoil and hasten the booty. Booty is actually the prize that you win from destroying your enemy. So the situation that he's looking at is what the enemies of Judah were saying about what they were doing to Judah. They were destroying it. They were trying to rip him off as fast as they could. And that was the name of his kid. I will make for myself a faithful witness to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberecha. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said to me, call his name Me'er Sha'al Hash-Baz. For behold, the child shall have knowledge to cry, My father and my mother, the riches of Damascus, and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord also spoke to me again, saying, Inasmuch as these people refuse the waters of Shiloh that flow softly, and rejoice in Rezin and in Remaliah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river strong and mighty, the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks, and he will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over, and he will reach up to the neck and stretch out of his wings and will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be shattered, O you peoples, be broken in pieces. Give ear, all of you from far countries. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. It sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? But really what it's saying is that they thought God was with them. Well, it wasn't. They were taking counsel together. They were speaking amongst themselves, but they didn't speak with God. You know, it sort of reminded me, because in my own personal reading, I was reading about Joshua, and Joshua was certainly a great man, but Joshua made decisions that were really stupid. He went up against Ai, and he never prayed about it. He thought, I can take these guys, no problem. A couple of million of us, a couple of thousand of them. What happened to him? And that happened to him more than once. I mean, the very next chapter, you read about the Gibeonites, and what does he do again? He doesn't pray at all. He makes a decision. He takes a counsel with his guys. They all come up with a deal, and they're not on their knees praying about anything. Don't say that God's with you unless you've been on your knees. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people called a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. We read a quote of that last night by Simeon, when he stood in the temple and he said, Here he is, the Messiah, who is set for the fall and rising of many, to some a stumbling block, to others the glory of Israel and a light to the Gentiles. A quote from this passage. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law amongst my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me, who are for signs and wonders for Israel, for the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And what they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter. Should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Why do you seek the dead? Why do you look in crazy places? Why do you listen to people who cannot tell you the future? Instead of looking to a righteous God. To the law, to the testimony. That's a shout of Isaiah. It's as if Isaiah is saying to them, you're looking over here to the law, to the testimony, to the Bible itself. You don't even like garbage over there. Take up the word of God. You want to know what's going on in the world? Just go here. There is nothing going on today that God doesn't know about. And what we've read this morning sounds like it came out of the pages of the New York Times this morning. Whereas my dad likes to look at the Debka file. It'll scare your pants off. What's going on out there? If half of it is true, we'd all be standing like trees in the wind. And yet God says, Don't worry about any of this stuff. Go to the Bible, to the law, to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Check them out. Make sure what they're saying fits with what the Bible says. Ahaz wasn't. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness and gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when, at first, he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoiced before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divided the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressors in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel for a fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order and to establish it with judgment and with justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will, there's no question about it, will perform it. Christmas. Today. Christmas. I don't know about you, but it sounds like today to me. You know, you and I have a hope. We have a hope because God intervened in man. A God who loved us, cared for us, created us, and said, I will not abandon him. No matter what he's done, no matter what circumstances it is, it's funny that here in the Old Testament, we're seeing the grace of God, the absolute grace of God. This was given to Ahaz, a turkey of the first order. Closed the temple up, took the pieces from it and tore it up, built idols to other gods, prayed to the gods of Damascus because God didn't help him because he was a turkey. And said, because you didn't help me and I didn't get what I wanted, I'll pray to somebody else. God says to that man, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his son shall be called Emmanuel. And I give it as a sign whether you want it or not. And in the midst of the chaos that will exist in the world, that exists now, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. May God affect your life, no matter what it is, no matter what circumstances you're in, no matter what you're facing. Remember, it's the Lord God of the universe who cared about you. My dad said, if somebody here isn't saved, doesn't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, what a wonderful thing to have. Why not? Some people may think you're nuts, but Ahaz thought they were nuts. Everything that God said happened. And it will happen. The things that are predicted for the future will happen. God's behind it. If you are saved, reconsider where you stand with that God. Reconsider where you stand. There's a lot of people out there trying to do it their own way. It's kind of like the song by Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. God's not interested in that. God wants it done His way. He brings salvation His way. There's only one way to God. There aren't many. There's only one. It's His way. And when you're saved, it's His way. It's His life. It's what He wants to do with you to make you useful. To have an impact upon a world that needs Him. May God bless you this day. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great privilege it's been to be here this morning. I thank You that we could simply open the Word of God, take passages from Chronicles, Isaiah, Matthew, other places, put them all together to see the mind of God. I pray that it will affect our lives. I pray that it will affect how we think, what we do, how we respond. If there's anyone here who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it's a great gift out there. All they have to do is ask for it. To accept that Jesus Christ died for them personally. When He came into this world, He came in for sinners. Save us from an eternity apart from God. I pray that any person here who hasn't accepted Christ will accept that great gift, the greatest gift that anyone could ever give them, to regenerate their life, to take them from death into life for eternity. And then, Lord, for those who have accepted Christ, help us to live a life in accordance with You. May we seek to get on our knees, to ask the God who's asked us to ask, the depths below and the heights above, to affect our lives for You. So when all is said and done, like Isaiah, I can have been a useful servant. May the Lord not let us go from here this morning unchanged. In Christ's name we pray with much thanksgiving. Amen.